Good morning.
It is good to see each of you here this morning. It's spring showers we're getting. April showers bring May flowers, and God has blessed us with a beautiful and bountiful time of the year. And we're also blessed that you're here with us in the house of the Lord this morning. Many of you have visitors with us. We want you to know you're always welcome, and hope that you want to be back with us at any opportunity that you might have. Our memory verse today was taken from the book of Ezra, and that's also the text for the lesson this morning. And so let's just put some things in context. Ezra was somewhat of a unique person. He was a scribe. He's identified in the scripture as a scribe, but he's also a Levite of the house of Levi, so he's also a priest. But what's happened in the book of Ezra is that God's people were taken into captivity into the land of Babylon. And it was really somewhat tragic how that happened. Excuse me. The Babylonians invaded. And when they took the best of everything. It would be very hard for us to imagine maybe an invading army coming into our church or our community and taking first all the young people. And then they would take people that they thought of might have been some worth to them. Maybe people who could serve to translate, or people who could be representative of the belief system like Ezra was of the children of Israel. And they took the best and the brightest. They stripped the temple of anything that they could. They stole all the good stuff. And what they left in the wake of that was a broken city, a looted temple, and broken people. And when they took the captives into the land of Babylon, that they wanted them to assimilate, that they wanted them to forget their legacy. They wanted to be like them. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wanted them to be like them. They wanted to look like them, eat like them, dress like them, think like them. But we had people who just refused to say, no, I remember God, and I will follow Jehovah God, and I'll not accept what you've got. And Ezra appears to be one of those such people. Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries. But a time came after the Babylonians lost power, and then eventually down to the Persians, and they said, okay, we're going to let you go back and rebuild your city. You're going to go back home. And so Ezra was one of those people who was chosen to go back and to help rebuild. And Ezra has this commentary made about him that was our memory verse this morning, and who he was and sort of what he did and what he was called to do. But we have this strategy of reform and rededication, and it's really, 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 really pretty simple. And it's found the verse we had for memory verse this morning. Ezra had to devote himself to the study and observance of the law of God and to teaching its decrees and laws. So how was a broken people supposed to get back something to be what they were like before? And he said, listen, the path to God is knowing his word and doing it. So he studied the law of God in what we would collectively call the Torah, the law of God. That's the word they use to describe the law. He studied it, and he observed it, and he taught it. And that was his strategy of reform. Let's get back to God's word. Let's obey God's word, and let's teach each other God's word. That was a pretty simple strategy. And so it became very, very important for Ezra and for the people to do this. When God's law is implanted in the hearts of men, they can change. It can change. Now, I chose the word implanted because that's the word that James uses. We'll use it in a few moments, and one of the points we're going to be making. But it's that time of the year, right? Spring's coming out, things are growing, you begin getting the itch to, you know, go dig in the dirt, some of you, and play in the dirt for a little while and raise gardens and stuff. You know, I have some brown crowder peas seeds here, right here. I think Bobby Swift gave us a mess a few years ago, and Tammy shelled them out, and And I've got some Crowder pea seeds. If you like Crowder peas, I'll share some with you. Stuff. Now, here's the truth of that. If I take this, some of these Crowder pea seeds, and I plant them in my backyard, what do I get? Crowder peas. Okay? If I give you some Crowder pea seeds and you plant them in my backyard, what do you get? Crowder peas. Okay? If I want to mail these to someone, to my brother in South Carolina, say, here, Steve, here's some seed, and he plants them in his backyard, what does he get? Crowder peas. Okay? If Jeffrey says, well, my family might like some Crowder peas in the Philippines, they eat peas and beans and stuff. I said, mail your family some peas. And his dad's a farmer. He plants peas in the Philippines. What does he get? Crowder peas. It's a principle. God made things to produce after its kind. Read the book of Genesis. Okay? If you had a cow and a bull in the field, you walked out one day and you had a donkey colt, you think, whoa, something happened wrong here. It produces after its kind. It's a principle. Okay? It's a principle. Like begets like. The word of God planted in the heart of man, implanted, cultivated, will produce good people. Godly people. People who make their decisions in life based upon what God would have them to do. It's very, very important. Ezra focused on God's law, but God's law is really, for us, all of God's word. It's to inform and to guide us. And so you have to have the right environment. You know, I was really surprised. You may have heard it, but I was surprised that that jar was sealed. And when I opened it up, it popped a little bit. Okay? But this will never produce Crowder peas unless what? I got to plant it. It's got to be watered. It's got to be cultivated. And you've got to have the right place to put it. And so we understand from Ezra's reform was to keep it pretty simple. Study God's word, observe God's word, and teach God's word. That was a pretty simple reform. And guess what? 2019, it's still pretty simple. You want to reform your life? You want to reform your home? You want to reform your community? I mean, we can get both. We want to reform this world. Guess what? Study God's word, observe God's word, and teach God's word. A seed can only produce its kind. I can say, listen, I told Tammy, hey, I like sweet corn. I probably like sweet corn better than do Crowder peas. I like them both, but I like sweet corn better. Okay? And I said, I'm going to go out and put some rows of sweet corn and put these peas in the ground. It'll never be sweet corn. Why? It just can't. The world can't give you what you need to be a good, godly person. It's not capable. It's broken. Only God's word can do that. It produces goodness and righteousness. So Ezra called his people back to the Torah, the law of God. And this is the reform. Let's find out what God expects of us. Let's do it. And let's keep teaching it. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It goes from Aleph to Tau. If you look in your Bible, Psalms 119 is the longest book in the chapter in the whole Bible. Okay? And guess what's about? God's law and God's word. It's all, the whole thing's about. And it's a poem. It's an acrostic poem that begins with their first letter alphabet, Aleph, and goes all the way down to Tau. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Tau, and it goes all the way down to Tau. In other words, if we said it in English, it starts with the letter A and goes all the way to Z. It's the A and Z. It's the beginning and the end of God. And so if you want to study your Hebrew alphabet, you can go to Psalms 119, and each section introduced, you have Aleph, Dalet, Gimel, He. And so it's introduced. The Hebrew letters introduced. In Hebrew, the beginning line, each of those things begins that letter of the alphabet. Genius, beautiful piece of writing. It took inspiration and dedication for David to do this. But there's many things about God's word that comes out of that. The beginning of it, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, who observe God's law, if you will. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. God's word informs, God's word directs, and God's word has an outcome. It keeps you from iniquity, and you walk in his way. Now you have to make sure the ground is prepared and right for it, right? Just like you do your garden. You got to make sure you pull the weeds out and the stony places out. And you got to be mindful of it. You got to make your heart tender toward God. Not like the stony ground that Jesus referred to, but tender toward God. David knew the transformative power of God's word. He knew it. The longest chapter in the Bible is about this. Verse 97 through 98. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than the enemies, for they are ever with me. He almost talks about God's word almost like a force field. It protects us as we go through life. And he says, guess what? I got enemies. And maybe if you're blessed and don't have any, that's great. But not everyone is so blessed. Some people are like, I've got people all around me just seeing me, waiting for me to mess up or people to attack me or people to criticize. I just feel I'm always under attack. What would protect you? God's word. David says, I love it. I meditate on it. I think about it. In other places, when I get up, I do it. When I lay down, I do it. I do it. Psalms 1. Day and night. And it makes me wiser than my enemies. Knowledge and understanding of God's word protects us. It will also keep us out of darkness and trouble. This maybe would be one of the prettiest analogies here. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think that God has allowed mankind to do some amazing things with technology. Okay, and I'm just so thankful that one of the things that they decided to do, put on my phone, was a flashlight. Anyone thankful for that? Ooh, I use that a lot. You know? We need light in the darkness, don't we? Or we stumble. And there's a lot of darkness in this light. But if we don't use God's word to illuminate the path, guess what? We'll fall in the ditch. We'll fall over. We'll get in trouble. We won't see the enemy coming. And God's word is there to illuminate us as the rightness and the wrongness, the straightness and the narrowness, to keep us in the right path in doing it. Now, it's easy to take a lot of things for granted for us. It really, really, really is. A lot of things. But I think God's word's real easy to take for granted too. Because when Ezra was talking about this, when David was talking about this, they couldn't pick up a book like we do today. If I was asked each of you, what is the Bible census at your house? In other words, how many Bibles do you own? You're going to be struggling, some of you. Because I about guarantee everybody here probably owns more than one copy. You know, I see affirmations. Okay? I couldn't even begin to tell you how many we have. I don't know how many. It's so convenient. It's so accessible. It's so easy. I mean, I have two different apps on my phone. It can always be before me. I think we take that for granted. I mean, if David could see us today, He says, I meditate on it day and night. I think about it all the time. If you could see what we had today, what would you say? Are you kidding? And you're not using that all the time? I think the challenge that we have sometimes is that we let it become something that we don't really know the full power of. Jesus knew the Word of God was powerful. Immediately upon his baptism, he goes into the wilderness. He's in there for 40 days, fasting. Satan comes up to him, presents these temptations before him. And every time, every temptation, Jesus responded with a phrase. It's in bold there. What does it say? It is written. Now get it? Jesus' hands were involved in the creation, according to John chapter 1. All things are made by him, through him, and for him. So he was part of the creation. What did he turn to? The Word of God. It is written. It is written. Man cannot live by bread alone. It is written. You shall have no other gods before me. It is written. So Jesus, God in the flesh, Son of God, Son of Man, however you want to refer to him, the Christ, the Messiah, he says, guess what? The best buffer you have to the evil in this world is what? The Word of God. It is written. So Ezra didn't give God's law a quick read and shut it up and say, okay, I got that. He devoted himself to it. But not only that, he did not stop there. He taught others. Now, I want you to hear me in a way that you don't feel judged. But everyone here should be teaching the Bible. And he said, but hey, whoa, I'm not equipped to go teach kids in the Bible. Or I don't feel like I'm equipped to stand up and lead a group of men and women or a group of men, you know, or combined audience to teach. I don't feel equipped to do that. That's just one way of teaching God. That's just one way. When you sit down and read a Bible story to your grandkids, when you talk to a friend about something from God's Word, when a friend says, how do you do what you do? You struggle with illness and you say, hey, listen, there's a peace in the Word of God, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that just does it for me. Gives me the challenge, the ability to face any challenge. That's teaching the Word of God. When you share a psalm, a thought, a word from the Word of God, you don't have to be standing in some kind of formal setting to be teaching the Word of God. Day and night, the children of Israel were told to teach their children about God's story when they would lie down at night, when they got up during the day, as they walked along the path, as they went through the gate. Just constantly teach it. So don't think that you're called to be some person who has to formally be doing this with a group of one-on-one, any way you can. You teach the Word of God. I get gobs of emails from people. And you can set up an email format that every time you send an email, it puts a format on it. And I get many from people I know that embedded in their signature format is a scripture. Every time you get an email from them, there's a scripture put in there. There's a lot of different ways to be doing this. And don't think that you need an invitation to do this. This is what God has called us to. Ezra dedicated himself to teaching God's Word, studying it, reading it, and teaching it. He devoted himself to it. And observance of the law of the Lord, and the teaching its decrees and laws. like a seed, God's word can only produce what it was intended to produce, His people. It can only produce what's intended to produce His people. I'd like for you to take three takeaways this morning. It's Ezra's reform, basically. We need to study God's word. We need to plant God's word. And we need to share God's word. We need to study God's word. We need to plant God's word. And we need to share God's word. I've got a few scriptures for you to consider for each point. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know what it looks like, don't you? The word's going to throw wisdom out at you. And you know what? Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes the wisdom the world throws out at you is biblical wisdom. It's not presented that way, but it is. And sometimes the word's going to throw stuff at you as just seeds of weeds and junk that you do not need to cultivate in your life. We have to know the difference. We have to recognize it. My grandfather, my mother's father, y'all know, very informative in my life and left a big impact on me. My grandpa lived to be 103 years old. He was baptized when he was 100 years old. He obeyed the gospel when he was 100 years old. But my grandpa was a stubborn man in many ways, as you can sort of guess. He was born in 1885. You know, he came from a different time. And my grandpa, even when he got well into his 90s, he was still trying to make a garden. Okay? And his vision was very, very bad. And it would not be uncommon to see my grandpa in his 90s crawling on his hands and knees in the garden. You know, he just was determined, very stubborn. You couldn't get him not to do it, something like that. You know, he'd get to the end of the road and get his hoe down and push himself up and get back up again and stuff. And I remember the day clearly. You know, my grandpa was always hard on us about tools. You always took care of your tools. You didn't throw them down. You always, you know, very careful in how we handled and stuff. But my grandpa came and he came up to the porch and he threw the hoe down, which I'd never seen in my life. He says, "I'm done." And we said, "What do you mean you're done, Pa?" You know, we didn't understand. That was out of character for him. He said, "I realize what I've been doing." And we said, "What?" He said, "I pulled up the corn and been cultivating Johnson grass." Okay. He got to the point, his vision was so bad, he couldn't distinguish between the corn plants and the Johnson grass. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Okay. He says, "We have a beautiful row of Johnson grass, not a bit of corn left in it." He reached the point, because of his age, he could not distinguish one from the other. And Jesus talked about tares and wheat and how these things can coexist, and you really cannot tell them from one another. But the harvest time is when they're separated. Okay, you might find people who are aspiring to be and follow God's word but aren't doing it very well, and you get very discouraged. Let God sort that out. He has the wisdom to do it. But we are individually have to learn to distinguish right from wrong, the right part of God's word and the wrong part of God's word. The second point, you got to plant God's word. You got to plant it in your heart. This was covered by a young man who did a great job last Sunday night. If you weren't here, you really missed something great. But all scripture is God-breathed, given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is about transforming you. You plant it in your heart and in your mind and in your life, and it produces something good that's God-honoring, that was designed to do. This is the verse with sort of inspiration for the title of the lesson this morning. Therefore, lay aside all the filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So not only does the word protect us from evil, not only does the word do all these other things, but the word will also save our souls. So it's critically important that we really embrace and respect, and we find every opportunity, whether we sit down with just one-on-one with someone and just talk about something that's biblically related, or we open up our Bibles, or we have informal or formal Bible studies, or just plaster my life and my mind and everything in my life with some truth about from God's Word, when I can just find some verse that just speaks to me like no other verse speaks to me. And I guarantee you, if you will look for it, there's a verse in God's Word that speaks to you in this moment in your life. If you just look for it. It will empower, it will equip you, it will protect you from the evil one, it will protect you from your enemies. It will inspire you if you just look for it. A few years ago, we sort of did it as a fun thing. We took the month of your birthday, okay? Then we took the day of your birthday, okay? So mine was 5/5. I'm born in May, 5th of May. So my challenge was I went through every book of the Bible and looked at chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. And you could do the same thing. Not every chapter, of course, has 31 verses. So if you're getting later in a month, you might cheat a little bit. Okay, but go through and just for grins. By doing that, see if one of those verses speaks to you as if it was written for God, to you, for you. I like 9 because it comes from the Sermon on the one in Matthew coming from the Sermon on the Mount. I like that one, 5/5. So, but the challenge is just to try to do it. Creatively, try to find something that speaks to you. It's a living word. Lastly, share God's word. Last week, Brother Darrell talked about this, and as he talked about this, he was right. I've never heard anyone preach from this text. I've never heard anyone preach from this specific text here. Matthew chapter 4, 26 through 28. And he said, that is, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. And Jesus doesn't offer commentary. They didn't say, what was that one about? I believe this is about the seed, the Word of God. You just trust that it's the seed, the Word of God, and you plant it as you have opportunity to. And you don't fully understand how it works. It just does. Right? Now, I guarantee you, if you go out and you plant your garden and you start digging it up every day to see if it's sprouted yet, you ain't going to have much. You put in the ground and you wait for it to sprout and you wait for it to do what it was designed to do. You pull the weeds out, you fertilize it, you keep the ground good and worked up around it so it can do what it was intended to do. But it does it, not you. It does it. But it cannot do anything but that. And so the Word of God is like that. The Word of God, when planted, the planter can't explain what's happening. It just knows it happens. Jesus talked about different soils. It just happens. But you plant and just trust in the harvest. That's the Word of God. It may act differently and produce differently in us, but it acts very specifically to reproduce what is intended to reproduce, God's people. Isaiah was before Ezra. So Ezra knew of Isaiah and his teaching. And Isaiah said this regarding God's Word. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, this is God saying to Isaiah, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please that it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We're not judged on the harvest, we're judged on the planting. Right? God's going to judge whether we plant it, not the outcome. Because as Jesus in the parable, the man can't explain to you why sometimes it does good and sometimes it doesn't. It just knows that he did it. But he takes advantage of the harvest when the time comes. And so that's what God calls us to have faith in. Faith in his word. Ezra's reform. You want to reform your life? You want things to be different? It's pretty simple. Study God's word. Ezra devoted himself to it. Ezra observed God's word. He planted God's word in his heart, in his mind, in his life. And Ezra taught God's word. He shares God's word. I'd say probably if we had our Sunday school's teachers to tell us when they first start teaching Sunday school, they're probably a little bit intimidated by the process. But I'll tell you what has happened. Most of them will say, I've learned more by teaching than I have by anything. I mean, we're talking about the little kids' lessons. And I think that there is a part of that. Peter said that there's a point in time in our development that we should ought to be teachers. And I know that's a title that we wear. Peter wasn't thinking formally like we think. Peter's thinking about people just instructing each other, encouraging one another in the Word. I don't think Peter even envisioned what we're doing here right now the way we're doing it. I think it was a lot less formal. It was probably around somebody's table. It might have been after a meal. It might have been observance in the evening or early morning, and they just sort of got together. But we know that God's word, when planted, produces. If you're here this morning and you would like to make a declaration of your faith this morning, confess Jesus as your Savior, let us assist you in that decision. Or this morning, you'd like to make a statement of rededication or ask for prayer. We're here to assist you in any way we can. Adam's chosen a song for us. Once again, as we stand and sing this song.